episode 92, Paying Off Debt and Reducing Food Waste with Debt Kickin' Mom.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast, where you'll learn to save money, embrace simplicity, and live a richer life. Here are your hosts, Jen and Jill.
Welcome to the Frugal Friends Podcast. My name is Jen.
I'm Jill.
And we have a fantastic chat with Angela from Debt Kickin' Mom.
Can you tell we're excited?
Oh my gosh. This is one of my favorite episodes we've ever done. And you will see why as soon as she opens her mouth. She has a powerful story, great actionable tips, and you will be engaged every single minute of the episode.
Yeah, it's just really good. And we're recording this intro after we've had the interview, so that's why we're so confident about it. But let's get into it.
Right. First, our sponsors, of course. Today's episode is brought to you by Kids on 45th. We love this sponsor. This is a great one for parents. Kids on 45th is a thrift store. They're located in Seattle and they're now online. So they're making it easier for you to dress your ever-growing children with up to 90% off retail prices. So when you visit Kids on 45th, it's similar to like a Stitch Fix or something. You're going to get a box of new, nearly new kids' clothing shipped to your door. You could choose how often, and you tell them about your kids' style and sizes, and then they will hand pick the garments you need in different styles, different patterns they think that your kids will like. So Kids on 45th combines all of our favorite things: shopping secondhand first, keeping prices low, and making life easier, because sometimes it can be overwhelming walking into a thrift store, I notice. We love this mama-owned company, and we hope you will support them as they are supporting us by visiting kidson45th.com. That's kidson45th.com. And try a box for your kiddo.
Also brought to you by Basic. One of the best things we can aim at in our financial lives. Want to reduce spending? Save some money? Just buy the basics. Get back to the basics with food, clothing, bills, really anything. Basic. We know we've reached the pinnacle of frugality when "yeah, basic" becomes a compliment.
Oh, man. Yeah. You basic. That's my life for sure.
You know, it seems like an insult. And then you realize, hey, it's the best thing you could say about me.
Yeah.
Heck yeah, I live in a trailer. I'm getting back to the basics.
Every time
I eat rice and beans, I'm back to the basics.
Every time we bring Kai to the pediatrician, he is always on the 50th percentile. Yes. And so we're just so thankful that he's so average. We're like, yes.
You're so basic, Kai.
You are so basic.
We could want nothing different
for you. You're just like us. We are so basic. Yes.
So vanilla.
So that ties in perfectly to this interview, because Angela and her family were just being basic. They were being super normal, and over a decade accumulated $77,000 worth of every debt you can think of, because they were being normal. And they were able to pay it off on mostly a single income for 2.5 years, and then the last 5 months, two incomes. And so they have a fantastic story. And she's going to go into it more in her own words, but this is a story that everyone can relate to in some capacity.
Yeah.
And so I'm excited for her to share it with you.
Listen up.
Yeah. So without further introduction, here's our interview with Angela of Debt Kickin' Mom. Welcome, Angela, to the Frugal Friends Podcast. We are so stoked to have you on. It was such a pleasure to meet you in October at Ramsey Solutions, like in person. So it's cool to hang out again.
Yes, it was so nice to meet you. And I'm so excited to be on your podcast. I'm a big fan. So
we are big fans of you and your YouTube channel. Yeah. I love what you're doing. So
glad to have you. And I'm sure our listeners will enjoy what you have to say too. You bring such a good perspective.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. That is awesome. Well, this is great. I'm glad I can be considered one of the frugal friends. So.
Yes. It's not that hard, but you're in.
Yes.
Awesome.
So for people that don't know about your debt-free story, can you give us the rundown on that? Because I love your story. And I think it's so many people are where you guys were.
Yeah.
And are feeling hopeless. And you've just given a story of inspiration to so many people.
Oh, well, thank you. And that means a lot. And that is why I continue to share it, because so many people resonate. Because the fact of our story is that we were just very, very, very normal for a very, very long time. And that caught up to us financially. Mm-hmm. So, I'll give the condensed version, but basically, me and my husband got married pretty young. Like, I was 21 and 23, and we were fresh out of college. And, you know, we started a family really young. And basically, our entire 20s was spent like having babies, playing house, and going into debt. And the truth is that we got married young. We weren't making a lot of money, but we were just kind of doing what you normally do. You get married, you have kids, you buy a house. Mm. And we had no clue about personal finance, because like most people, you don't really talk about it. You know, mm-hmm. you may talk about budgeting a little bit with your parents. You know, they may teach you that money doesn't grow on trees and whatever, but they don't. I mean, we just personally didn't get that upbringing where we were taught, you know, how to handle personal mm-hmm. finance. And I think that that's so normal, because most people mm-hmm. I talk to don't even feel comfortable talking about personal finance, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of, that's our story. So basically, we spent almost a decade of our marriage having babies, being house poor, and trying to survive off of one income because we had this family. And we were just being like trying to just do what we thought was normal. You know, you get a job. My husband was making not very much money fresh out of college, got a job, started having kids. I wanted to stay home with my kids. So we were living off of one income, and we were just always broke and always living paycheck to paycheck. And it was fine. We didn't graduate school with, at this point, we didn't have student loan debt. Mm. So we kind of were just paycheck to paycheck, just managing. But slowly but surely, we started racking up that credit card debt. And I mean, I'm talking over the course of like a decade, you know, an emergency would come up and we could never save money. We just weren't disciplined. We didn't know how to live life on a budget. We could never really save money. So anytime an emergency came up, we were using that credit card. We would get like a tax return and be able to pay it off. But then the next emergency would come up, and we just kind of lived this cycle. And then the biggest thing is when we bought our first house, we are from California. We don't live in California now. We live in South Carolina now. But when we bought our first house, we became house poor. Like, we bought this house. It was just too expensive for us. We couldn't afford it. We were on one income, but we wanted it. And we wanted what we wanted now, you know? And mm-hmm. even though we're living paycheck to paycheck, I don't even know how we got approved for our mortgage. Like, I look back and I'm just like, this is crazy times. Like, I don't get it. But we did. And that's when things got really out of control. You look at the statistics, and this is why I share this story, because I talk about it and I kind of get embarrassed, where I'm like, gosh, we were always so broke, but yet we kept buying things, you know, in our lifestyle. We never modified our lifestyle to live below our means. But like statistically, like, it's, what is it? Like 70 to 80% of Americans live paycheck to paycheck. Like most people live exactly the way that we were living for a decade. So like I said, you know, we just spent our 20s having kids, growing our family, and getting into debt. And it caught up to us. And basically, we found ourselves where we could not make it anymore. We were like drowning in debt payments. It was so hard to live off of my husband's income because even every time he would get a raise and we'd have more income, somehow we managed to spend it all, right? Because we still didn't know how to budget. We didn't understand how to budget, how to save. I mean, we understood it. We just wouldn't practice it. We couldn't put it into practice, you know?
You can write numbers down, but it's actually sticking to it that is
exactly
the issue.
Right. Or we were just in denial, you know, about how much we were spending. We weren't tracking spending. There's so many little pieces of it that we just weren't doing that seem like common sense. And it is common sense, but we know the majority of people don't do that. And that's why debt is such an issue for so many people. Mm-hmm. And it caught up to us about after when I was pregnant with my third child, we were at probably one of the roughest parts financially. We'd always lived paycheck to paycheck, but my husband had a new job and we didn't have health insurance. Mm-hmm. And we ended up having two babies without health insurance, paying for it out of pocket. Now we had all this medical debt on top of our credit card debt, our mortgage. It's just, you know, the rat race, right? Mm-hmm. And at that time, I realized like, you know, this life of me being a stay-at-home mom and having, you know, my kids and my house, we can't keep up with it anymore. And I realized I was going to have to, in order to keep up with our debt payments, I was going to have to go back to work. So I started going to school. Well, my mindset was so like, okay, I'm going to go to school. Well, how the heck am I going to pay for that? So I take out over the course of about 4 or 5 years of being a stay-at-home mom and going to school at night, I took out $40,000 in student loans on top of like already $30,000 in debt that we had. I took out the loans so that one day I could make enough money to pay off that debt. You know, so now here we are, I'm about to graduate. We have four small kids, but now my loans are coming out of deferment, still stay-at-home mom. I still have small kids. And the reality is just like, what in the heck? We have $77,000 of consumer debt on top of our mortgage, student loans, car loan, credit card debt, medical debt, personal loan, like just all this stuff. Like, and it just became like, we can't even afford the minimum payments. Even if I do work, it's like, it's for nothing. It's just to pay for the debt. And this is going to be our life for the next at least decade of student loan debt, but probably even more because we're still not going to be pay off our other debt. So it just, you know, you can just see how it took time to get where we were at. It
feels like so stuck, suffocating, or hopeless, wow.
And I can just feel people listening to this just nodding. I can like see them in my head. They're in their car and because they are doing the same exact thing or they've done the same exact thing.
Well, and I love how you call it normal. We were living normal lives. You're not talking about going to the salon every day living a luxurious life. You're having babies and living in a house.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. And I've always said that. And that was part of my mindset too, is I was like, we don't live this extravagant life. We've always driven used cars. Like I don't, well, I had a shopping problem, but it wasn't like a name brand. I wasn't, brands or anything. It was we lived what we felt was a modest life. But like you said, life is just expensive, you know?
Right.
And it was just all these things happening. The picture that I get is just suffocating, like just slowly the weight of it was, just suffocating to us.
Which can make us immobile. Yeah. That can paralyze us to do anything about it, which then repeats the cycle.
So true. So true.
So what was the breaking point?
Yeah. So the breaking point was there was lots of things that happened right over the years where I was like, this is not working, but you're in survival mode. And like you said, you're paralyzed by it. You're in denial. It's just, what are we going to do? It feels hopeless. Well, we ended up going on a vacation and it ended up being kind of like our sick and tired moment. We took all of our kids on this vacation, but we couldn't afford a vacation. So I was like looking for deals and I ended up finding this deal, but there was totally a catch. You had to listen to a timeshare sales pitch.
Yes.
I know. It's like everybody's just like, so this is just where we were at. Like emotionally, I was just like, we just need to have a break. And so we end up going on this vacation and it's super cheap. We stay like 2 nights in the mountains at this nice resort, but the catch is we have to go to this timeshare sales pitch. And that was my first time ever doing anything like that. I had heard people say like, oh, just go. You're not, you know, don't buy the timeshare. Of course, like we were too broke to even consider buying a timeshare. We knew that that wasn't going to happen, but you know, we thought it wouldn't be that big of a deal. Well, it ended up being the most horrible experience ever. This timeshare salesman, like I didn't know how I would react in that situation, but he is a real person. And he's trying desperately to get us to buy this timeshare. And we told him from the get-go, like, you know, we're here to get the deal. And I just learned something about myself on like a human level. Like I had gotten to a point where I was wasting, like we were so broke. We needed this vacation so bad. We find this budget vacation. And like, I just felt like we were taking advantage of this guy whose job was to sell us something. And at the end of the day, if he wasn't going to sell us a timeshare sales pitch, he doesn't get that commission. He starts talking about his family. And I could almost hear like a desperation in his voice, you know? And it was just this really human moment where I connected with this timeshare salesman, the fact that we were taking advantage of this deal. And I just felt gross. You know, it's right after Christmas. We put Christmas on a credit card. Like we put this vacation on a credit card. Here's this timeshare salesman trying to get us to help him get his commission, you know? And we're like, no, 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 we don't mean to be rude, but no, he's talking about his family. He starts bringing up his, you know, his time in the military. My brother was in the military and it's just like, wow, this is our real life. And it just, the whole thing felt sleazy and gross. And that night, I end up getting a text message. So we went to this timeshare sales pitch, went out to dinner, go back to the resort room, and I get a text message on my phone from my bank telling me that we maxed out our last credit card from the dinner that we had put on it. Like we had overdrawn the credit card and it was like, it's canceled. You can't use that. We're in the mountains with four babies. And honestly, like, I'm like, I don't even know how we're going to get gas to go home. Do we have enough in the checking account? Because I was kind of relying on the credit card until my husband gets paid next, because there's nothing in the checking account. And it hit me, and I get emotional every time, but it hit me like a ton of bricks. And at this time I was handling all the finances. My husband was earning the money, but he was okay with me just kind of handling it. And I knew the gravity of the situation. He did not. He went to bed that night, put my kids to bed, and I could not sleep. And I was in this resort hotel room on this vacation, looking at my phone, you know, broke. And real, and after this whole experience with the salesman, you know, and all that, I just felt like, wow. And that was our sick and tired moment. And I ended up staying up that night, pulling up all my accounts, every debt payment that we owed. Like I just started writing it down on the hotel notepad and just listing. I was like, wow, you know, and it was just, I looked at everything and I said, the thing is we cannot keep doing this. And it was this broken point. So then the next day, well, we ended up going home the next day. And it was that night that I was like, I told my husband, I was like, I need to talk to you. He knew we had debt, you know, but he didn't understand the magnitude of it. I didn't understand the magnitude of it until that night when I sat down and started writing everything out. And what prompted me to write everything out was because I was like, oh my gosh, we maxed out our credit card. Can I get another one? Can I get another credit card? So I'm like, well, what all credit cards do I have? And I'm writing them all down. How much is my debt? You know, I just start pulling up all these different accounts. And then it was like, oh my gosh, this is way worse than I thought. You know, I stared the monster in the face for the first time that night. And then I had to talk to my husband about it and be like, you can't be in denial anymore. I can't do this on my own anymore. And we got to do something different. And that is literally where it all started. And that was right after Christmas. It became our New Year's resolution to start getting out of debt.
Wow.
So, wow.
Yeah.
Thanks.
I feel heavy just here, like experiencing that story.
Yeah. You told it so well that there's such, for me, like an emotional connection with your story right now. We all need to like process this together now. It's good. It's good because it's real life. And I think so many people find themselves in that place. I think what is so powerful is how normal your story is and sounds and how many people could connect with it at different points. And we say it could feel so immobilizing, so paralyzing, and yet you can almost get to this point of enough. which then can propel you towards something different. Not that I would ever say to somebody like, make sure you get to absolute rock bottom and buy everything that you want so that maybe you get like motivated after that. But yeah, can you tell us then briefly what happened from there and how are you out of debt now, right? Like for our listeners, like, can you give us the update to like bring us back up out for what you've experienced?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So when me and my husband had that talk, we actually ended up having a great resource because my mother-in-law, she taught Financial Peace University, like Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. She taught that at her church and she had mentioned it to us before. Not in any sort of way like you need it. Mm-hmm. She had no idea what was going on. She talked about how she hosted that. And we kind of looked, I was like, I think that's the get out of debt guy or the budgeting guy, right? The financial peace guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, financial peace sounds really nice. You know?
Mm-hmm. It is well titled.
Some financial peace. So call your mom and ask her about that. And without telling his mom anything about our situation, he just said, hey, what's that class? And could me and Angela take it? And, you know, we're interested in it. And she was like, I will buy you a Financial Peace University kit tonight and it'll be in the mail. She was like, didn't ask any questions, but she was so excited that he had asked her. She bought it for us, gifted it to us. We ended up getting it a few days before the new year because this all happened in that short little time frame after Christmas, you know, before New Year. And we ended up getting that Financial Peace University and we got the online version of it and took the whole course in like 9 days. Like, you know, we just would binge watch Dave Ramsey. Mm-hmm. And it was intense. It was a lot, but it definitely got us on that track of like, okay, we need to have a budget. It needs to be, you know, we need to give every dollar a name. We need to be very intentional. We need to cut expenses. And it basically just gave us all the building blocks of where to start. You know, the whole idea of like, you know, having a small starter emergency fund and then paying off debt. Okay. And pay them off from smallest to large. Just gave us a plan. Mm-hmm. Gave us a plan. And we just started. We just started budgeting, cutting expenses. And it was, when I say we just started, I mean, yes, it almost felt like overnight. It was like, okay, we're done spending money. We're budgeting. Mm-hmm. But it definitely took some time to like work that all out, figure out how much we were spending. I would say it took us a good like 90 days to really kind of get it figured out. And then over the course of 3 years, we paid off $77,000 of debt. We paid off all of our consumer debt in 3 years. And the crazy thing is that it was mostly on one income. 2.5 years of that was on my husband's, he was at an entry-level engineering position. So that kind of gives you an idea on our income, you know, definitely middle class, but one income. And I started teaching. So, you know, part of my story is that I went to grad school, got my master's in teaching, but I still had young kids at home. Yeah. And we started the journey before I went back to work. About 5 months before we paid off our last debt is when I started teaching. So the majority of our debt-free journey was on one income. So it really was about not raising our income for us in order to pay off that debt. It was about cutting expenses, where my mindset before had always been like, when we raise our income, we'll finally get caught up. But we made the decision to like, we're going to start now and we just cut expenses. So frugality was definitely something that I embraced, especially being in the position where I was a stay-at-home mom. I felt like, you know, that was a blessing for me. I had some time. I was home. I could do a lot in the home. I can control a lot of these budget categories and save money. So that is where everything starts for me as far as like my message and what I share when it comes to, you know, how I've been able to cut expenses and learn to live below our means and you know, kind of get out of that cycle of consumerism and spending money mindlessly. That was our story. That's how we paid off our debt in 3 years.
Well
so yeah,
done.
3 years later. Yes. Yes. Thank you.
I'm over here snapping.
I know.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. No, it's crazy. And it's so freeing. So we've been debt-free for a year now.
Wow.
We just celebrated 1 year of being debt-free and we have over a 6-month emergency fund in the bank. We have started retirement investing. We have started college savings for our kids and like,
and it can literally be done.
So it can be done.
Yeah. And 4 years ago you were at your breaking point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Four years ago.
what that
anyone
time
can think back, like, where was I 4 years ago?
Yeah. Yep.
And where am I now? Like, mm-hmm. what has yep. been the transformation that I've made in 4 years?
Yeah. Yeah.
And could I have done more?
Yeah. And it sounds like it keeps building upon itself for you, Angela, mm-hmm. of the things that you're learning. And I know a big thing that you talk about and you help your viewers with is food and food prep and reducing food waste. Yeah. And mm-hmm. we'd love to pick yes. your brain on this. I know that you've probably learned so much in your debt payoff yes. and then your year out of debt. But what prompted you to start focusing on specifically reducing food waste as part of your journey?
Yeah. So, it all started with my journey in frugality, right? Like yeah. learning how to save money and cut expenses. And one thing that really struck a chord with me when we were looking at our budget was that, you know, there's these major budget categories like housing, transportation, food, and there's probably another one, but it's like these yeah. major, you know, these major budget categories that like, those are the major, that's the bulk of your income. And if you can lower any one of those, you're going to be able, you know, significantly, you're going to be able to pay off more debt. So really it was about creating a debt snowball. And we're a family of six and our grocery budget could be astronomical if we let it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we started looking at how much we were spending on food and we were spending about $1,000 on food every month and then probably more on eating out. So it was just like our grocery bill is $1,000. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was like, wow, you know, if I can control this, we could contribute a lot more to our debt snowball.
Mm.
So that's kind of where it started, like just totally selfish frugality. I need to save money. We need to pay off debt reasons. And it all kind of started with this challenge to myself to lower my grocery budget. And that started with some pantry challenges, you know, like I started thinking, okay, well, if we can just not spend money at the grocery store this week and just eat up the food that we have, we're going to save money. So it started doing that. And as I started doing these pantry challenges and, you know, lowering my grocery budget, not buying as much at the store, I started to become just acutely aware of how the abundance of food that I had on hand when before my mindset was that we didn't have enough, or I can't really make anything out of what I've got. But these pantry challenges would force me to get creative. And somehow I was always able to put plenty of food on the table for my four kids and my husband yeah. and myself. And it just changed everything for me. Like I started seeing like, wow, what visually looks like maybe you don't have enough.
Yeah.
If you are creative and resourceful, you have plenty.
Yeah.
And then I started just becoming really aware of how much food I was throwing away, or I guess how much in the past I was overbuying. Uh-huh. I was just overbuying food. I had uh-huh. food on hand that I wasn't using. I don't need to buy more. Uh-huh. So I realized how much I was overbuying and then started realizing how much I was wasting.
Yeah.
And I'm a researcher by just like hobby, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's my hobby to research.
Ooh, I feel you on that, girl.
Yes, right? Yes. Yeah. So I kind of am like, wow, you know, how much do people waste? You know, uh-huh. I can't be the only one. And very quickly, you do an internet search on food waste. And yeah. there's so much resources out there. And the statistics just blew me away, right? There's a website called savethefood.com. Mm. And I love that website. And that website, you log on and it gives you so many tips for, you know, reducing food waste and all that. But anyways, the statistics is what stuck out to me. It was that 40% of food in the United States is wasted. And you might think like, oh, okay, 40% of food, but consumers on the consumer end, we contribute mostly to that. Like a lot of people wow. will say like, oh, you know, it happens because, you know, in the farms or in transportation. Yes.
Right.
But that statistic factors in mostly consumers who are wasting food. And then there's this at the bottom of that website, there's a calculator that you can do where you can see your family size and what on average the amount of food that people waste. And for a family of six, the average family of six will waste almost $200 a week in food. $186 was the average, according to this website. And I mean, I don't know exactly how they get their statistics, but sure. I knew that we were wasting food.
Yeah.
I knew how much we were wasting.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh my gosh, you know, that came out to like over 2,000, like 2,200 a year that my family was probably just throwing food away. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or the average family of six, that's a family of six. Family of four wastes about $1,500 a year in food, but just by throwing it away, according to that website. So the statistics just shocked me. And I realized that it was like a huge problem. And I thought, wow, you know, like so many people want to lower their grocery budget. Are they aware of how much food that they are throwing away? So that I just kind of started sharing with people how we were reducing food waste, and that was saving me hundreds of dollars. And so that kind of became my goal. I could save the most money if I could reduce the most food waste. And also, you know, buying frugal foods and learn and that kind of stuff could reduce it even more. You could save $100 a week by just not throwing stuff away, you know?
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I started sharing with people, like, are you aware of how much you're buying and how much you're actually eating? And that sort of thing.
Again, it's the awareness piece of we can think, but it's not that big of a deal. But then actually look at it and realize, no, this is actually an area where you could save significantly based on how much you're not using or throwing away, that it could make a big dent in that budget and debt payoff journey.
It requires so much self-awareness. Yeah. I mean, the whole debt-free journey requires self-awareness, and food waste is no different. It's like looking that person in the mirror and being like, okay, and just not being in denial, but being self-aware of how much food you're wasting, how much food, I mean, you know, we have this mindset, and especially in our, you know, our culture is very visually based, right? Like, you know, I think about, I'm on Instagram a lot, right? So I think about just how people want to fill their feeds with things that are just beautiful and abundant. And I think we're kind of, you know, we think of having enough as having like an abundance of something. But if you're not actually, you know, like talk about produce, the number one wasted thing is produce, right? Yeah. I mean, it is, because it doesn't, the shelf life isn't good. And that's the number one wasted thing, produce. So, but produce is the healthiest thing, right? We want to fill our cart with this abundance of produce. And it's like, oh, you know, you fill your fridge with the rainbows of produce and you think it's healthy. But if you're self-aware, it's like, it's not healthy to have a bunch of produce. It's healthy to eat a bunch of produce, right?
Yes.
So it's like, are you eating that or are you throwing it away? And does it look beautiful when you take a picture of your fridge? But how sad does it look when it's going in the trash
can?
That's
a real,
you're posting that picture.
That's a real thing. Like talking about image, right? It actually, I've realized this, and it took my husband to point it out to me, that I care how my grocery cart looks. And he's like, don't fool yourself. You like Eggo waffles too. Like you're just worried about what the cashier's going to think. But then we get home and you're not going to eat that rhubarb.
So true, but it's a pretty purple. I totally get it. And I still kind of feel that way sometimes when I'm putting my stuff up on the belt at Aldi and I'm like, ooh, I have a frozen pizza. Do I have enough spinach to like counteract this pizza, right? Yeah.
Do I have enough spinach that nobody in my house is going to eat?
Right, exactly. So that is, I mean, that's about being self-aware, is realizing, I mean, our family, you know, with my kids, you eat at least one fresh produce for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Yeah. You got to have some sort of fresh produce, and we have an abundance of it for snacks, but not an overabundance that's going to get wasted. We just don't. I'm acutely aware and intentional about how much produce I bring into my house. And I bring in just enough that is either going to get eaten, or if there is excess, I figure out ways that I can freeze it or reuse it. But I just am like, I am not going to throw produce away. And sometimes that means that I'm not bringing an abundance of it in my house. I'm bringing in only what we're going to eat.
Perfect. So,
that's a great segue, because I wanted to hear your tips for reducing food waste. So only bringing in what you will realistically consume. Yes. That's a great one. Do you have any others?
Yeah. Well, I mean, when I think of every time somebody asks me for tips on reducing food waste, like, how'd you do it? I'm like, it goes back to like maybe what you learned in elementary school about wasting anything, right? Reducing waste across the board. It's those three R's, like reduce, right? Reduce, reuse, or recycle. And that's like the most basic way to think of it. So we just talked about reducing. Reduce the amount of food that you are bringing into your home. And I do this by mainly, and I talk about it on my YouTube channel. I have like a whole video where I walk you through the steps of my zero food waste meal planning, because it's this process that I use where I always take inventory of what I have before I meal plan or make my grocery list. I always take inventory of what I have, like everything, what's in the freezer, what's in the refrigerator, everything that I need to use up. And I meal plan around what I have, because that means when I'm going to the grocery store, I'm not buying things that I don't need. Not only am I not buying things that I don't need, but I have a plan for the things that I do have to get used up. So I'm reducing how much I bring into my home. And if you're not buying it, then you're saving money, right? And you're also not going to waste it. So reducing is honestly the number one way that you can reduce waste. And that's across the board for anything, reducing your consumption. So, you know, yes, we need food to eat. Yes, we need lots of healthy, nutritious food to eat, but be realistic, be self-aware of how much you actually eat, how much is actually an appropriate portion size for you and your kids and your husband and all that, like how much you actually need, and stop overbuying. Stop overbuying and stop worrying about that image, you know? And it might not be an image for anybody else. It might just be your own image. Like, oh, I want to eat more.
That's what it is for me.
Yeah, exactly. I want to eat more healthy food and all that, but you probably are eating enough. You're eating what you know? So anyways, that's the number one thing is to reduce. And that is really, and even when we get more on like a, you know, really thinking about the food waste epidemic, that's what experts would recommend. They would recommend reducing the amount that you purchase in order to not have to throw it away. You know, because it's about supply and demand too. If we are buying for, you know, twice as much produce as we actually need, they're going to keep supplying twice as much produce than we actually need. And the way the food waste cycle is going to continue. So we can make a difference by reducing our consumption and just decreasing that demand because we don't really need it. Right.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, you go into the other idea, which is to reuse. So I apply this to food waste, reuse food in different ways. So reusing leftovers, preserving food. I really love my freezer. I freeze everything. Most things can be frozen. If you walk down the freezer aisle and kind of take a look at all those convenience foods or prepackaged foods, anything that is an ingredient in one of those things can be frozen in your own freezer by yourself. Like you don't have, you know, there's not some magic potion that enables you to like, you know, freeze a green bean. Like you can freeze your fresh green beans, you know? So just I freeze food, preserving food when you can, and reusing leftovers is, so important. And that takes some creative thinking. It takes some resourcefulness. It takes some trial and error. But if you have that mentality of, I'm going to waste as little food as possible, I'm going to meal plan around the food that I have, you'll figure out ways to use what you have on hand. And that's that reuse portion. Figure out ways to use food in different ways. And keep it simple. Like you don't have to be coming up with some like, you know, extravagant meal from leftovers. It could just be that maybe you just have like a potluck night at home where you take out all the bits and scraps and put it on the table and tell everybody to just have a little bit of everything. I do that like two or three times a week in my house because with six people there, you know, I might have a little bit of chicken left and a little bit of, you know, pasta left or whatever. It's not enough to feed everybody the same meal, but everybody can kind of do a potluck style. And then we use up the food that we have. So I do that all the time. So that's that reuse portion. And then there is that idea of just when it comes to reducing waste, maybe that recycle portion. If there's food that you just cannot, you know, eat anymore, but you don't want to throw it away, especially with produce, you can recycle those produce scraps into compost, something like that, you know. But I do always put this disclaimer out there. It's composting or regrowing food is like kind of like a trendy thing, and you see a lot of it, but actually it only will reconcile about 1% of the resources that it took to produce that food. So keep that in mind. The best way to reduce food waste is to reduce the amount that you're bringing in and to reuse it. Those are really the ways that you are going to stop throwing food away, which will absolutely lower your grocery bill.
Nice.
Yeah.
Wow. excellent tips, and I'm taking notes on it. So we'll have it in our show notes for people who are like, wait, okay, what are all these different things? What applies to me? We touched on this already a bit, but I'm curious to pick your brain a little more on how do you stay healthy while saving money on groceries?
Yeah, well, so the crazy thing is that when I started this whole journey of reducing our food waste, you know, meal planning differently, and trying to buy frugal ingredients that I could make stretch across the board for my family, I ended up buying a lot more like wholesome ingredients. So I was making beans and lentils from scratch. I was making soups from scratch. I was making chicken broth from scratch. I was eating up more produce because I didn't want to throw it away. You know, I realized that, wow, you know, I'm not buying convenience food because convenience foods are expensive. I'm not buying a lot of processed food because they can be more expensive as well. So there's kind of this thing where people are like, oh, you know, cheap food is unhealthy food. Uh-huh. And that's not really the case. The cheapest food in the grocery store is going to be like your beans, your dry beans. It's going to be your flour to make your own bread if you want to. I mean, you can get really where if you're only using whole ingredients, it's going to be those whole chickens, you know, that are like 99 cents a pound or whatever. Those are all very, very healthy foods and produce that's in season and all that. Those are all very, very healthy foods. So I found that I actually ended up losing, I mean, not that weight was never, losing weight was never a goal for me, but I ended up losing weight when we started our debt-free journey. I think it was, me just being super intentional about, you know, we weren't eating out at all. So we were eating all home cooked meals. I was cooking from scratch mostly. And when I say cooking from scratch, I don't want you guys to think that like, I hear that and I'm like, I don't bake bread or anything like that. I might bake some rolls to go with our soup. Those are easy. But like, I am not a good cook. And I created a cookbook called Simply Frugal, just to like prove to people how basic it can be to learn how to cook. Because I'm talking like when I'm cooking from scratch, like I learned how to boil a pot of beans and, you know, put that on a thing of rice with some lettuce. And, you know, and that's what I mean by cooking from scratch is you don't have to be some amazing cook. It's like cooking very simple ingredients, just learning how to cook those staples, those basics. And it's healthy food. It's nutritious food that I cook. I cook very little processed food because that's just more expensive and doesn't taste as good. And so I found that eating out less, you know, cooking mostly wholesome ingredients, it helped me to, you know, I kind of lost the last of the baby weight. Not that that was really even a goal of mine at the time. I wasn't even focused on that, but I lost that last of the baby weight and I've maintained a healthy weight for the last almost 4 years now, without ever going on a diet or trying to buy any sort of diet food or anything like that. I feel like, you know, just going back to the basics of just intuitive eating, you know, eating when you're hungry and stopping eating when you're not hungry. So that's something that we practice in our house. I never make my kids clear their plate, but because we are a zero food waste home, like that's what we strive for. If they don't eat their dinner, I just put some Saran wrap over it and put it in the fridge. And if they get hungry, that's what they're eating later on. But it allows them to still eat intuitively. They don't have to clear their plate because we're a zero food waste family. Yeah. Like, oh, my mom won't let me throw the food away. No, you're just going to eat it later.
So meatloaf for breakfast.
That's an awesome tip.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that's awesome.
Yeah. And so we end up being able to balance this idea of eating intuitively, eating when we're hungry, not really having a bunch of food rules, but because we value not throwing food away and being resourceful and being grateful for the food that we have, it all kind of plays together. And our family, I think, is very healthy nutritionally because of that. So there's definitely, you know, a lot of frugal foods can be very, very inexpensive. I'll just say that the staples in our house, and this might not work for everybody, everybody has a different diet, but some staples in our house would be like sweet potatoes, black beans, and pinto beans that I boil from scratch. And, you know, just it's very easy to boil beans. And, you know, whole chickens, because that's just good protein. And those would be like some staples. And those are all high in protein and fiber and they're filling and they're super affordable.
Yeah, I think that's encouraging for a lot of people with maybe food allergies, mm-hmm. because I was in a Facebook group the other day and someone was saying like, I've just relegated my grocery bill is just going to be high because there are so many things I can't eat. And mm-hmm. I'm like, but mm-hmm. the cheapest things are all things you can eat according mm-hmm. to the allergies you just stated you have.
Yes.
So I think that people with different dietary restrictions should definitely take this into consideration.
Yes.
And take you know, that self-awareness and reducing what you buy and food waste and be able to reduce your grocery bill. It's totally doable.
Yeah. And I think that that kind of plays into the other thing that we were talking about with like image and like feeling like you want to have a visual abundance of mm-hmm. variety, right?
Yeah.
But like mm-hmm. you don't like, you know, if somebody needs to give you permission today to not have a super varied diet, if you don't want to, like, you know, yeah. you don't have to have a huge variety. Yeah. You don't have mm-hmm. to have 30 different meals yeah. for the month.
Yeah.
You know, you can eat the same meal on rotation and it's okay.
If that's yeah. If you like it, yeah. eat it.
Most of the world lives off of the basics and it's yes. fine. Yeah.
It yep. is fine.
Get off exactly. of Pinterest.
Yeah.
Get
yeah.
off of there. Yeah. Right. Get out.
If you want to get creative, then use your herbs and spices in a fun way. But if you're happy yeah. with having a rotation of four meals, do it.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. That's been our mantra too. And that's been amazing. And it's so, there's so much freedom when it comes to that. Like mm-hmm. it's so freeing to just be like, yeah, you know, if this is what I like, it's okay that I eat it once every week, you know, yeah. once or twice every mm-hmm. week. Like there's so much freedom and so much less pressure. Like me as a mom of four, yeah. that's like dinner on the table, you know? And I'm just like, it's, you know, I don't want to downplay it, but definitely like reducing our variety of meals and just sticking to what my family loves that I know is nutritious has been so freeing mm-hmm. for me. So it's kind of like a mom hack too. Like just give yeah. yourself permission, just keep it simple. Mm-hmm. Like you're doing a good job by feeding them and your kids are so simple. Yeah. And you're also teaching them that it's okay to, you know, eat nutritious foods regularly. Yeah. Like, you know, like keep it simple. Yeah. You're giving them permission too. So
speaking of yeah. freedom, man.
Yeah.
It right. makes
something
me think
I'm okay
of
having every
the
week.
The freedom of the best time of the week.
It's time for
the bill of the week.
That's right. It's time for the best minute of your entire week. Maybe a baby was born and his name is William. Maybe you paid off your mortgage. Maybe your car died and you're happy to not have to pay that bill anymore. Duck bills, Buffalo bills, Bill Clinton. This is the bill of the week.
Mm. All right, Angela, every week we have this one and we never get tired of it. We invite our listeners or our guests to give us their favorite bill for this week or for their life of any time. So do you have a bill for us?
Oh my goodness. I wish I knew somebody really cool named Bill to like mix it up for you guys today, but I don't. It's kind of disappointing.
But, I know. Nobody knows a Bill. There's right? hardly any yeah, Bills out there.
They're gems. They're little gems. That's why we get so excited about it.
That's so funny. I'm going to like keep it super basic because, well, this isn't basic. This is huge for us. The bill of the week for me is definitely our mortgage bill because y'all, we just paid. So we became debt-free a year ago and spent the last year building up those retirement accounts, college savings, emergency fund, and all that, getting like all that in order. And now we're working on paying off the house. And just this past Friday, we put our first principal payment. That principal payment that we put on the house was we put an extra $2,000 on the house. That took down the life of our mortgage. I'm using one of those amortization. I probably said that word wrong. Can somebody say that word right? I don't know.
Amortization?
Yes. Yeah, you know those amortization right. yeah. schedules?
Yeah, you're good.
So I plugged that in. Yeah. And that extra $2,000 principal payment took 4 months off the life of our loan. Just wow. that one extra payment. And saved us over $2,400 in interest. Okay. Just that one. So if we do this every month, we're going to have our house paid off in just a matter of about 5 years. So that was definitely, that was huge for us.
Amazing.
Because 4 years ago at Christmas time, we were broke and broken and just financially suffocating. And today at Christmas time, this year, right, you know, right around Christmas time, we are working on paying off our house. And it's what we're doing now is returning dividends. So it feels like all the years that we lost being financially irresponsible, we're making up for that now. And I hope that your listeners can hear that hope that, like, you know, there's a lot of shame that comes from being very irresponsible with money like we were, but like, let go of that shame and move forward, because it is never too late to turn everything around. And now we're just in a completely different spot. And yeah, the future's bright because of that, but you got to do something about it. You know, you got to put in the work. But yeah, that, so that is my bill of the week, putting that extra mortgage principal payment towards my mortgage.
Woo!
It feels so good. So yeah.
That's awesome.
Thanks for sharing, Angela. How exciting and how much can be done in such a short amount of time in the grand scheme of things. Right. Like, that's going to seem, and 4 years from now, who knows? You might have your house paid off. Four more years.
Gosh, yes.
Or be very close.
Well,
so, yeah.
If you have a bill that you want to submit to us, whether it's your mortgage or you actually know a bill, call us. Visit frugalfriendspodcast.com/bill. That'll connect you to our SpeakPipe, and you can leave us a bill right there, and we will play it on our show.
Woo.
And now it's time for the lightning round.
The lightning
so round. Normal, because we're talking so about soft. Normal things today.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. So for this lightning round, I thought it would be fun that we all go around and share one or several ingredients you always skip in the recipe. You know, when you find that recipe and you see something on there and you're like, I'm never going to use that again. And then it just keeps coming up and you're like, I'm still never going to use that again, even though I see it a bunch of times.
I'm always going to substitute that thing.
Always going to substitute it. Always going to skip it. So, Angela, do you have any of those in your home?
Oh, goodness. That was a hard one. That's a hard one, because I just skip whatever I don't have on hand. Yeah. Like, I'll make recipes and skip whatever I don't have on hand. And I find that, like, you know, just add a little bit of salt, right? Salt, pepper.
Yes. Okay.
Not too
salt
much, but a little bit.
Salt is everything.
But no, recently, I was making, I had like these rice noodles, and I wanted to make kind of like a Asian spin of chicken noodle soup, but I didn't have, so I looked up a recipe and oh my gosh, like all these different Asian spices, like I can't even think of them off the top of my head, but it was all these different like vinegars and Asian spices that I just did not have. But I made that soup. I think the only thing that I had on hand was like some peanut oil, like that I had, and some rice, a little bit of rice vinegar. And it totally gave it that. Yeah. That was enough to give it kind of that authentic Asian taste for me. I mean, I don't cook authentic Asian food, but I was like, I didn't need all those other spices. Yeah. So yeah, anytime I am making a new recipe and it's calling for something that I don't have on hand, I skip it. But yeah, the Asian chicken noodle soup that I made was bomb. And I put barely anything in there, but it was good still.
Common Google search for me is substitution for fill in the blank. I'm always looking up substitutes. Yes. And it usually works out fine.
Yes, it does.
Only if you try to substitute like vinegar for milk are you not going to probably do a good thing there.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So for me, it's always bay leaves. For some reason, I just do not carry bay leaves. Yeah. And every time, and I feel like I don't understand them. I don't understand bay leaves because they go in and then they come out.
Right.
And I don't know what they've done.
Maybe nothing. Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Or I was making a recipe the other day that called for tamarind, and I had to Google. I was like, substitution, because A, I don't know what this is. B, I'm not going to buy it at all. And lime juice.
Yeah.
Lime juice.
Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah. So, I love how you guys mentioned Google. Like, just Google the substitution. That's
how we do every episode. We start it with a Google search and then we just help people. Like, if they were going to Google whatever the subject of whatever the headline of the episode
is, what are you going to find?
That's the Google search.
Oh,
and then we go through what you will find on Google.
I love it.
And is it worthwhile?
Yeah. I don't think we've actually ever like stated like that's what this show is.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're just helping you explore Google.
That is amazing. Cause it's been huge. Yeah. It's been huge in everything that I've learned too. So it's that researcher.
You need the Frugal Friends to help weed through Google.
Yes.
For me, it's fresh herbs. Like every time, fresh parsley, fresh this, fresh that, unless it's the summertime and I got it growing out in my garden. No, you better believe I'm doing some dried herbs that I've had in my pantry for 5 years. And it's just fine. Yeah.
They're never too old. Yeah. They're always there.
I mean, just keep in mind that if it calls for a half a cup of fresh parsley, that's like one tablespoon of dried parsley. Yeah. Just be careful. You're not doing a half cup of dried parsley on that one.
Yeah. You're going to have to Google the ratios.
Yeah. But it's always fine.
Yeah. That's such a good one. I also freeze. Like if I do buy fresh herbs, I'll freeze them and use them. Like that's something else that you can do. But I'm with you. I could have said that one. I could have also said I'd never use fresh herbs. Like you said, maybe in the summer I grew some or something, but very rarely do I use fresh herbs. That's a good one.
Well, thank you so much for hanging out with us today. This has been truly one of my top 10 episodes,
I think. Oh my goodness.
I had a lot of fun today.
We're just going to keep you on the line. We're going to stop recording, but we're going to keep talking.
Yeah.
That's what happens with friends when you just have friends.
Yes.
I love it. Y'all are the best Frugal Friends. We are so lucky to have you.
We are lucky to be here. Where can people find more about you and what you're doing and your awesome cookbook that's got some really yummy recipes in it?
I have a website, Debt Kickin' Mom and Kickin' without the G. So debtkickinmom.com. Where I started sharing was just on Instagram. So find me on Instagram, same thing, Debt Kickin' Mom. I also have a YouTube channel. The YouTube channel kind of came when I started sharing more recipes and sharing more tips. And I just wanted like a longer video segment than Instagram stories. So I also have a YouTube channel with the same name, Debt Kickin' Mom. So between those three resources, you'll be able to find lots of tips, frugal groceries, frugal recipes, how I save on grocery and household items, all kind of like my frugal tips, and also all about our story. So if there's bits and pieces of our story that, you know, I know I shared a ton today and gave you really the meat of it, but I share a ton of our story. I've been documenting our journey through the baby steps of paying off debt and now financial freedom, paying off the mortgage. So that's where you can find me.
Yay. Well, I hope our listeners go and hang out with you on Instagram and everywhere else because you are a delight.
Oh, thank you. You ladies are too. I feel so fortunate that you had me on the show. So thank you.
Whew. That was a jam-packed interview.
Yeah. So many good tips and relatable stories. We got emotion. We got information.
And that's all you can ask for. And that's what we're going to bring you more of in 2020. Because when we asked in our Frugal Friends community on Facebook, that's what you said you wanted. You want more debt-free stories. And we are going to keep bringing them to you. It's going to be the year of debt freedom.
Yes.
On the Frugal Friends podcast.
What a good year for it. Clean, fresh start. 2020. None of these odd numbers. We're done with it. All evens for us.
Hindsight and foresight is 2020.
Yes. And in the year 2020.
So we're doing new things this year. That means we're doing new things. So we are retiring our book club. We're doing something a little new because we want to thank you for your kind reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. Like this one from Countdowner in DC. It happens to be 5 stars. She titled it Real Friends and Real Solid Content. I've been listening to the podcast for months now and have steadily worked my way through the back catalog. Jen and Jill are fun to listen to and keep me motivated to live frugally and well. Jill's got a background in counseling and therapy, and Jen's a personal finance writer, so I love that they balance the technical side of finances with the human side too. That's what we're going for.
Yeah, what a good summary of what to expect in the podcast. I like that. Mm-hmm. We also want to thank all of our friends who are sharing the podcast with their friends, because there's nothing Frugal Friends like more than more Frugal Friends.
Yeah.
So we have a new way to enter our monthly giveaway in 2020. We're doing new things. We're changing it up.
Yeah. If
you share this episode on social media or Facebook, tag us in it. We will pick one winner for every 5 tags at the end of the month.
Yes. And instead of books, we are giving away $10 Amazon gift cards. So still unlimited. If you tag us in an episode, if you share it, tag us, that's going to be your entry. And we will pick one winner for every 5 tags we receive at the end of the month. And you can still leave us a review to enter as well on iTunes or Stitcher. Screenshot the review and send it to frugalfriendspodcast@gmail.com. And we're just adding a new way to win. That's it. Adding a new way to win.
And new things that you're winning. So I'm excited about the gift card. Can I win one if I tag myself?
In all honesty, I'll tell you, all of the winners of the book club have actually been winning gift cards for the price of the book, because it's just easier.
That's amazing.
So that's a secret that if you've won a book, you know that. But for the first few months, I was trying to send books and it was just difficult because international people were winning and it was hard. So yeah, that's been going on for a while. So I'm just making it, I'm just being transparent about it now.
Yes. You can spend it on whatever you want. If you want to get a book, that's great.
Right. So it's up to you. We're giving you that freedom.
If you just need some new toothpaste, that's fine too.
Yeah, clean those teeth. Yes. Save that dental bill.
Yes. Oh, you guys, it's been fun. Hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll be here doing it again next week. See you then.
See ya.
Frugal Friends is produced, edited, and mixed by Eric Sirianni.
Jill.
Yeah. Say it to me.
How do you feel about this new thing we're doing?
I'm excited about it. I love new things. I like it when our voices don't keep repeating ourselves. So
yeah. I felt like it was time to mix things up.
Yeah. You're good at that.
We can't just keep being predictable.
Yeah. You got to spice it up in life.
Right. Yeah. Being spicy.
Be a little spicy. Usually I'm vanilla, but sometimes I'm spicy.
Yeah. Basic.
Yeah, basic.
Basic with all the dried herbs. All of them.
Yes. I do have quite a lot of dried herbs, though. So,
do you have bay leaves?
I do. And here's why. I had this soup one time, which I'm not even a real big fan of soup, but it tasted phenomenal. And I was like, what is the secret here? This is so good. And the girl said, my secret ingredient is bay leaves.
No.
So I got a chuckle to myself when you said that, because I get it. You just throw it in and you take them back out. You can't eat them. But anything that I've had that has had bay leaves simmering in it has had really fantastic flavor. So I was like, I got to get me some of those. Now, granted, I actually haven't used any of the bay leaves. I still have this like thing of bay leaves in my herb basket. But I do love the flavor of them.
What is the flavor? Can you pinpoint it?
It's bay leaves. It's bay leaves, baby. It tastes like bay leaves.
This tastes like bay leaves.
It's like you're by the bay and it's like there's leaves and it's the bay.
I live on a bay and there are no leaves there. And so I
couldn't describe the flavor, but I could describe that it gives it, what's the word? Depth to the experience in your mouth.
Okay. All right. I believe you.
Yeah, it makes
sense. Maybe I will get these bay leaves.
You know what? We're coming down to you and we're going to bring our home to your home. And together we could make something with my bay leaves that I haven't used yet. And we can report back. Oh, we could even, since 2 is better than 1, make 1 without the bay leaves and 1 with the bay leaves and really decide, is this worth it? this $3 bottle of bay leaves.
the bay leaf off.
Yes.
The bay leaf challenge.
Yes. Does it create the depth of flavor for your palate that they claim it does?
I'm surprised it's never in one of those boxes on those cooking challenges that you have to use. Like, you have to use this fruitcake.
Well,
these bay leaves.
The thing is, it's usually in something that would simmer, and those cooking things aren't usually a simmer process. Usually it's like, you'll be done in 20 minutes. Bay
Even
leaves
more of
require
a reason.
Some time and effort.
Mm.
So that's probably also why you don't buy them, because you want your 20-minute meal.
So true.
I support that, because you're basic. Get back to the basics. It's a compliment. You frugal.